was almost time for the Passover festival. So Jesus went to Jerusalem. There in the temple, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. So he made a whip from cords and drove all the animals out of the temple. Both the sheep and the cattle, he overturned the tables of the money changers and scattered their coins. And he told the men who sold the pigeons, "Take them out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that the scripture says, "My devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire." The Jewish authorities came back at him with a question. "What miracle can you perform to show us that you have the right to do this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again." "Are you going to build it again in 3 days?" they asked him. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple." But the temple Jesus was speaking about was his body. So when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said. While Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in him as they saw the miracles he performed. But Jesus did not trust himself to them because he knew them all. There was no need for anyone to tell him about them because he himself knew what was in their hearts. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Some people have a passion for collecting things. It may be stamps, matchboxes, coins, rocks, or maybe teaspoons, dolls, fine china, jewelry. Or the gardening types may be gathering orchids, roses, hibiscus. Are you a collector? Have you ever wished your grandparents had preserved certain items which were common then but rare now? For them, of course, those things were for daily use, not for display in a cabinet. Are you a collector? Some of us continue to be affected by our race memory of the Great Depression. Bent nails are straightened and put in a box for future use. That rusty screw might be needed one day. Pieces of wire were a commodity to be valued. That cut-off of cloth may come in handy sometime. That piece of string, that rubber band. And so it goes on and on until another generation has to look at what we have stored and evaluate its worth. Are you a collector? What lies hidden behind the beautiful exterior of your house? Treasure or trash? King Solomon had a great conception. He said, we read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, he said, "I'm about to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God and to dedicate it to him for burning fragrant incense before him, for setting out the consecrated bread regularly, and for making burnt offerings every morning and evening and on the Sabbaths. The temple I am going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods. But who is able to build a temple for him since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him?" The temple was to be a place of worship and sacrifice. sacrifice, because to truly worship God, we need our sins to be forgiven. Jesus was not only the true tabernacle, the place where God lives, but he became the perfect and final sacrifice for human sin. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, we read in the book of Hebrews. The temple Jesus entered in today's reading was the third temple to be constructed on this particular site. The second temple had been built around the end of the 6th century BC. The third temple is known as Herod's temple. Herod the Great. He ruled from 37 BC to 4 AD. He was the ruler at the time of Jesus' birth. Now, he was of Edomite descent. Now, if you've studied the Old Testament, you'll know that Edom was one of the countries, but they weren't God's people. No. You know, the Romans were looking around for someone who would rule a country. They chose Herod. He's an Edomite. He wasn't popular with the Jews. The things he did didn't make him any popular either. But he may even have had political motives in wanting to restore the temple. Work on it began about 19 BC. The main structure was finished within 10 years. But work continued long after Herod's death, until 64 AD. First century Jewish historian Josephus gives us an idea of what Herod's temple looked like. He writes, "The temple had doors also at the entrance and lintels over them, of the same height with the temple itself, though adorned with embroidered veils with their flowers of purple and pillars interwoven, and over these, but under the crown work, was spread out a golden vine with its branches hanging down from a great height, the largeness and fine workmanship of which was a surprising sight to the spectators, to see what vast materials there were and with what great skill the workmanship was done. He also encompassed the entire temple with very large cloisters, contriving them to be in a due proportion thereto, and he laid out larger sums of money upon them than had been done before him, till it seemed that no one else had so greatly adorned the temple as he, Herod, had done." Now later on, Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem. The disciples were impressed by the temple. One of them said, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." But Jesus replied, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. For behind that magnificent exterior, something was very wrong." In John's Gospel, chapter 2, we read, "When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. To those who sold the doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?'" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Do you remember the story of Jesus when he was a 12-year-old boy, going up to Jerusalem with his parents? And then when everyone sets off, where's Jesus? And Mary and Joseph went back and searched for him. And when they found him, they weren't very happy. But what did Jesus say? "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Well, now here's Jesus, 20 years later, still his father's house. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the cleansing of the temple at the end of Jesus' ministry. These were two separate occasions. The cleansing in today's reading caught the authorities by surprise. The second, some 3 years later, was one of the immediate reasons they plotted his death. Now, the rationale for what was happening in the temple was twofold. The animals and birds sacrificed in the temple had to be perfect, without defect, and ceremonially clean. To sell them on the premises was a convenience for worshippers from near and far, guaranteed that the sacrifices were acceptable. Money changers were there because money offerings in the temple couldn't be made in Roman currency, which had an image of the Caesar stamped on it. He claimed to be a god. It had to be converted into Jewish shekels. All this took place in the outer courts of the temple, what's called the court of the Gentiles, the only place where non-Jews were permitted to come and worship the Lord. The haggling of the marketplace was mingled with the prayers of the people. The whole thing became a rather big money-making racket, netting an equivalent, apparently, of millions of dollars. Behind the magnificent exterior of that temple was corruption on a large scale. It was in this context that the Jewish authorities asked Jesus for a miracle to prove his authority to do these things. But Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." This saying was later used as evidence against Jesus in his trial before the Jewish council. But no, that wasn't a prediction of the destruction of the temple. In fact, that was done by the Romans in 70 AD, not so long after it was finally completed. After the resurrection, the disciples would recall this saying as a pointer to Jesus' own death, followed by his resurrection. But then in verses 23 to 25, that last little bit of our reading. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. The Jewish authorities were caught up in corruption. Their request for a miracle was a reaction against Jesus, a sign of their unbelief. But here are the common people, impressed by his miracles. Many believed in him. Following the official hostility, that would surely warm his heart. But no. Corruption wasn't just a characteristic of the leadership. It was a characteristic of the human heart. God sees beyond the masks we put on, behind our pleasant exterior. He knows what is in our hearts. It won't do to demolish the old temple and build a new one. The old problems will only re-emerge. Instead, the temple to be demolished will be Jesus Christ himself, given over to death and raised to life so that the evil within us can be destroyed and we can receive life and hope and purpose and meaning. Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians 5. He, Christ, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Are you a collector? Well, look, we're having morning tea later. Don't forget to come and have a cuppa. We can perhaps talk about that. Are you a collector? Behind that exterior, the you that everyone sees, who are you really? What do you value most in life? What trash or treasure do you keep hidden away? That's the question, isn't it? The greatest miracle is that God loves you so much that Jesus died for your sins. That's mine as well, by the way. And was raised on the third day to be your Lord and Saviour. Put your whole trust in him and become a new person from the inside out. Amen.